to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jodi Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Eleni, welcome to our very last episode recording of 2024.
Oh my goodness. How did we make it here? That is amazing. So glad to be here and be here with you.
It's been 7 years of recording. And if we go back in time to Alan suggesting I start a podcast and me saying to you, can you Google how to make a podcast?
I feel like if TikTok were a thing 7 years ago, we could have had a lot of fun like showing the behind the scenes of how we were building this show. It was so different. We didn't have the amazing Natasha producing our show. We did not have the tools and the tech. It was like truly an idea that just kind of, we just ran with it. So many conversations and friendships have been built since then.
Yeah. And I'm just amazed how impactful it is on me personally. Like it's still free therapy. It's still free business coaching. Every time I talk with someone, I learn something brand new. And then when I'm moving through the world in our industry, yes, I'm thinking about our work and how to advance our work, but I'm also thinking about telling these people's stories, right? So mm-hmm. I get to view the world of our industry a little differently than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's amazing to have these deep conversations. Today, we are featuring Selena Cox, Executive Director of Beauty at CVS Health. Tell us more about our last guest of the year.
Well, I met Selena at the Derm Beauty Connect in Miami. So that's back to back, right? Our episode 274 and 275 were met in the same room. And Selena and I were on a panel together. And she's just fascinating, interesting, and she has such an incredible perspective on what CVS brings the customer. Mm-hmm. She was talking to me about, you know, there's thousands of CVS stores all around the country. And in many of the areas where they're located, I think she said there, 80% of the country is only 10 miles away from a CVS.
Wow.
Right. And in some of those places, that might be the only like true healthcare and personal care and beauty destination, right? Within miles. Mm-hmm. So CVS, you know, plays a very big role in a lot of people's lives. And she gets to bring those surprise and delights and self-care to her customers every day.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be such a cool episode. I love hearing the stories of brands and businesses that are household names. I can't picture people who don't know CVS. So like hearing that there is a person who's actually building this and navigating it and moving through it is going to be very interesting.
Before we move on, I want to say like everyone should listen to this episode because Selena's point of view on building a voice within a large organization is so incredible. I never worked mm-hmm. in a company as big as CVS. She worked at Bloomingdale's and Macy's and all these very large organizations in her career. And she has such an incredible system of navigating these organizations, building a cohort of advisors to help her every step of the way. It's really like, this is the textbook on how to navigate your career, and everyone should listen to it.
Such a great theme for our show. I feel like we have a lot of people who, you know, give people roadmaps for different phases of their career, different types of roles that they want to have. And we have had so many amazing stories this year, and we have more next year. We're already planning for next year. We have our Listen Again awards that are coming up. So if you remember voting for them in the past, you can let us know on LinkedIn your favorites from the last two quarters.
And major, major, major podcast news coming up for our eighth year. We are going to get back to live recordings, human to human, not human through a screen. We are going mm-hmm. to be launching listening parties at our office and make these really big moments. So there's going to be more information coming everyone's way about this, but we have an insanely awesome lineup for our first quarter theme. Should we tell everybody what the theme is?
Yes, I am so excited about this entire innovation for next year.
I have to give props to Natasha for naming our themes because she found really clever names. The first theme for quarter one is Power Moves, Excellence in Leadership. And when I say like top-notch guests, it's major C-suite names.
That is so exciting. So just for everyone listening, the next episode plan for the podcast feed will be a mashup of the next Listen Again winners. And then we're going to jump into our new format with two guests an episode.
Okay, so I want to talk about that, like having two guests at a time. So this might be confusing to people who've been a devoted listener to our show for 7 years, but my voice is getting pretty old to me. So I look to my hero, Andy Cohen, and on Watch What Happens Live, he always has two guests there's going to be maybe like a Real Housewife and an artist, or someone from Vanderpump Rules and someone from a Broadway show. So I thought we need to have a new voice and new dynamic at this show. So we're bringing in two guests. Of course, they're going to be in the wellness, beauty, or personal care space, but they're going to be two guests. They're not affiliated with each other, and we're in conversation, the three of us. So you'll get to hear, like, you know, it's like more bang for your listening buck. You'll get to hear two career journey stories within one episode.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. There is going to be so much to learn, so many different people to learn from. I'm excited for just a different dynamic and to be in person next year. So lots more to come. Please keep following along to learn more. And in the meantime, let's get to it with the last episode of the Health Quarter. Here is episode 275 with Selena Cox.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. We're a career journey podcast talking about what it's like to define success and reach for it in the beauty and wellness industries. Today, we finish our health wisdom theme with Selena Cox, Executive Director, DMM of Beauty at CVS Health. I first met Selena on a panel for the Derm Beauty Connect event, where we had a great chat about the dermatology and retail crossover we're seeing in the industry. Selena has driven innovation in beauty merchandising, creating a diverse, inclusive product range that resonates with a wide customer base. She's shaping a consumer-centric beauty experience at CVS Health, collaborating closely with vendors and senior leadership to support key initiatives and advocating for women's issues. I'm excited to get into this conversation about her career journey, all on episode 275.
Woo!
Selena, welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here with you.
I'm so happy that you're our 275th episode. This is the last episode of the year, the last episode of this theme. What a cool number.
Awesome.
So, as I said in the intro, we met at Derm Beauty Connect. We were on a panel together, and I felt such a connection to you. So it was very thoughtful that you mentioned that to me. There's just people that you meet, and you're like, I want to hang out with this person, right? And you're that person. And you're a mom of three adorable little boys, really little boys. You have this amazing job at, like, you know, when you think of health and beauty accessibility, like CVS is the one that comes to mind. So I'm so thrilled that you're here today and we can dig into your career journey.
Thank you. Look, I'm excited to be here. I think, like, so often women have, like, these great insights and secrets, and they're not always shared. And I love the opportunity for this community to really, like, share my story and understand how I got to where I am and what drives me and what's important. So I'm thrilled.
So we're going to go back in time to when we start thinking about, like, what do I want to be when I grow up? So maybe your older son sort of having these conversations with you now, like, you know, I want to be a chef or a rock star or whatever it is. What was the first career that you dreamed of having?
Yeah. So I've always sort of been a free spirit. And I remember, like, when I was in kindergarten, I grew up in New York. So I lived in Westchester, which is the suburbs. And my grandmother lived in the Bronx. And I always remember, like, wow, the candy is so much cheaper in the Bronx. And so I would buy the candy in the Bronx, the penny candy, the 5-cent candy, 10-cent candy, and I'd bring it back to my school and do, like, little bundles. I didn't know I was bundling at the time. And then I'd sell it to my friends for, you know, modest markup, 50 cents. But that intrigued me. I loved, like, finding people's, like, next favorites and, like, being the, like, go-to to get it from, like, an early age. So that was probably should have been, like, my first, like, understanding that I wanted to do something in business. I actually, in high school, worked at the Limited 2, or it became Justice. And so I just knew that I loved helping people, like, escape whatever they may be experiencing in, like, this clothes, this outfit, like, create a moment of joy and happiness. I just loved it. It was a connection, but I never really understood, like, how did the clothes get there? What's, like, behind the scenes? And so I think I knew from that point that there was something that was driving me that was related to, like, satisfying and bringing something forth to people that was just in my spirit.
Okay, so I love that you were basically going to the wholesale outlet in the Bronx and then creating your own retail experience on the playground. That's amazing. You know, when I was little, maybe around the same age, I used to play store a lot at home. I'd, like, merchandise my room and I'd have my mom come in and shop, and she bought me those, like, receipt pads with the carbon copy paper in it, you know, so I can, like, write her a receipt. it's just really fun, like you said, to make people happy with their like purchases and surprise them and delight them in the way you merchandise a store. And I wanted you also to know that I worked at Express. So I learned how to fold a sweater really well. But I did not think about how did the sweaters get here. I did not think about why are there 400 Christmas sweaters in the store and it's after Christmas. Like I didn't, you know, understand any of that. But having that retail experience is so valuable.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So we're going to dig into like your journey, but I want to start with where you are now because you said something to me that was so fascinating. It's I had never thought about CVS in this way, but you talked about how for CVS, it's a lifeline for health, beauty, nutrition for many people in the country where they don't have the access to, you know, medical offices and specialists right around the corner. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that means to you?
Yeah, I just think about it. CVS as a retailer is in many people's neighborhoods. I think we're within 10 miles of 85% of the population. That's powerful. And when you may have not have a standard mode of transportation or consistent, may have odd hours that you're working, access is key. And so it's really something that I'm proud of as I think about the organization, not only from the pharmaceutical health background, the support that's given on that end of the business, but also like for some of the other moments from beauty to seasonal, from just getting like your laundry detergent, access is key. And I think that's one of the things that really separates us.
Well, there's no way to walk into a CVS for like a prescription pickup or one thing and leave with one thing. It's just not possible. I have the stats to prove it. And that's your job, right? Your job is to remind me of the things that are on my list, but they're not like on top of mind, right? You help me make them top of mind when I'm in store. What is it about the job that you have that like allows that to come to life for the shopper?
Yeah, no, just think about like moments. So we have big moments and holidays. Obviously, we're approaching Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, all holidays that are celebrated. But we also have like smaller days that are little mini moments. Think about graduation. Think about, you know, even you think about Mother's Day. It might not be a grand scale, but you still want to make sure that you're putting forth your best self. And then think about the days where you just need a little something. And so I think, you know, when we think about our consumer, we want to make sure that whether it's a big moment or just a regular day, that we're satisfying the need and the appetite for something that would make their authentic self shine. And it doesn't always have to be heavy. You know, it could be a mascara that's just like, wow, I feel like so much better. Or it could be something with a skin regimen in a routine that makes you feel a lot more confident. There are different ways that we support the customer on their journey. I think most important is making sure it's their journey, it's their choice, and that we have the assortment to support them in whatever way they desire.
So let's go back in time. You studied marketing in college, right?
I did, yes.
So what was your plan at that point in terms of what you would do with that degree?
I wasn't really sure. There are a lot of different ways you can go with marketing. And so for me, I've always loved like sort of campaign ads and really getting inside of a customer's head. And I think there's a lot of synergies when you think about retail and like the specific study of marketing. And so I was sort of able to take that love and apply it to the love that I had of retail. Bloomingdale's came to my campus. They were interviewing for their buyer training program. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm a New York girl. This is for me. And so I interviewed for the program. And what happened, it's so funny. My mentor, JJ Thomas, who has since passed, but was huge advocate for me and a mentor for me as I've shoelaced my career, my journey. He interviewed. And then my girlfriend interviewed after me and said, Selena really wants this job. So I'm just here to tell you that you should really hire her. And so he said, the fact that you had your own like built-in cheerleading system, that I had to get to know you and I had to make sure that we got to know you better. And that says something about good friends. So I knew then that there was something here. I went back and went through the process of interviewing. And then started, graduated in May and started like in July. And I was in the training program.
What a friend.
I know. Shout out to Renata. Thank you.
Is Renata still in your life today?
She's, you know, I haven't talked to her in quite some time, but I will say this. Hampton friends can go in and out, but you'll never, like, it's like you see them and you've never lost time. So even though I might not be speaking to her regularly, there's no love lost.
That is a good friend. What an incredible cheerleader for you, and what a cool moment. So the job you were interviewing for, what was it at that time?
Yeah, so it was assistant buyer. It was in the Bloomingdale Buyer Training Program. And so at that time, they had a pretty standard sort of playbook in which that you would really study for 6 weeks, and then you would also get out in stores. It was really a great opportunity to learn about the different facets and parts of the business expectations before you were sort of thrown into the world of being an assistant buyer. And I actually, to the point of long-term friends, one of the friends that I do have with me from that program is actually the godmother of my kids. And she left soon after we started the program, but she often says, the only thing I got from the program was you. So really, really fortunate. It sort of made way for me to shoelace throughout the Bloomingdale's and Macy's organization over the next 10 years. And that foundation was critical to my success.
So what's interesting here is you started out of school in this buyer's merchant, you know, department, and you stayed.
I did, but I've had a lot of different experiences. So like, that's where I am today and right now. But I was a planner. I was in product development. And so I was able to go into these different parts of, I guess, the merchant world, or how you service the customer. What I love about what Macy's allowed me to do is it allowed me to leverage my skills and make lateral moves if necessary, or vertical moves. Mm-hmm. It's not always about like how quickly can I get to the top. For me, it was about the journey. It was about what I'm going to learn, who I'm going to be surrounded by, how can I impact where I am. And so I'm very, very grateful. I was with the company for about 10 years. I had 11 roles. And many of them I was tapped on the shoulder for, to say, hey, are you ready to try this? Or do you want to try that? The best thing that I did was say, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I started straight out of school. I had a lot to learn about myself and about the industry. And I was able to, I would say, I was able to learn and really get paid while I did it. And that was really a blessing.
I love hearing that you had 11 roles in 10 years within one organization, right? And that you're able to keep navigating into new experiences. In my career, especially in my 20s, before I started my own business, when I like sniffed out that there was like an opportunity that was going taken or grabbed by someone else, or like an almost missed opportunity in the marketing department or something, I like jumped. You know, I'm like, I'm going to take that, right? And I'm guessing you had to be this type of personality where people knew like you were going to like go for it, whatever, even if there wasn't an answer for how to solve it. It sounds like they just knew you were going to take advantage of that moment.
Yeah, I remember, and this might be like TMI, but I wanted to make sure that I got some exposure to my VP at the time in product development, and she was always busy. And so I would wait. I would like sort of email her, because at the time IM wasn't like popping, but I would email her and just say, just let me know when you have a break. And she would say, I only have breaks when I go to the bathroom. So I said, okay, just let me know when you go to the bathroom. So I literally would wait outside her door. Now it sounds like crazy. But at that time, I would wait outside her door, wait for her to walk her to the bathroom, and then wait for her to finish and come out of the bathroom. And I got so many opportunities from those little walks. It sounds silly, but just like taking a moment, having that interaction, learning from her, because mostly I wanted to understand her opinion and her point of view about things. It was tremendous. And I laugh when I think about it, but I was like, wow, you know, you were really going for it, girl. I love that. You know, I love that I did that.
I don't think it sounds crazy. I mean, we have to all kind of find that today, right? So we're all on Slack, or we're on Zooms all day long. People aren't working in a physical office. It's not like you can just like knock on someone's door and walk in. Like, you have to grab at whatever opportunity there is, right? You have to make the opportunities, right? So I wonder what the equivalent of that restroom walk would be today, right? How could somebody who even not, they don't even have to be early in their career. They could just like want to get, they need to get visibility or they need to get feedback or they need to get, you know, a response from somebody who's so busy. What do you think would be a go-to?
Yeah, for me, you know, I'm a remote colleague. And so I really take interactions very seriously because I don't have much time in person. And so it's funny, yesterday with one of the young ladies on my team, I was like, this is what a bumping in the hallway would be. I just IM'd and I called and I said, hey, do you have a second? And mm-hmm. she said, I do. And so that's how I think about it. I ping my boss all the time to say, do you have a moment? Sure. And so I think it's just putting yourself out there. I use the phone as like, or my teams essentially as like my lifeline to connect. I can see when people are there. I can see when they're away. And I try to engage folks and not always when it's like, I need something from you. You know, I had a touch base yesterday that was, I just want to thank you for like the work that you've been doing. And so I think connecting with people on a human level is so important. And just acknowledging too, when things are like, well, this is not ideal. I know I'm not living like, you know, in space or anything, but we have to push through it. So really connecting with like the human nature of things and trying to connect with people on a more personal level.
I love this idea of pinging people or huddling in Slack or whatever it is in moments when it's not about getting the mad scramble to get the work done. It's just like, hey, I have 5 minutes. Let me like say hi or give you feedback or hear feedback from you. That is the equivalent of just walking into someone in the hallway and, you know, walking from point A to B and then, you know, you split apart. And that's the fun stuff at work too. So you're really making that for yourself.
Absolutely.
You called yourself a collaborative employee? What was the language you used?
Remote employee.
Okay. So as a remote employee, what have you had to work harder at than somebody who might be in the office, you know, 4 or 5 days a week?
I think it's establishing relationships, establishing rapport, people establishing trust. Mm-hmm. People get comfortable with you and have a level of trust in you and your work based on how much they interact with you. If they mm-hmm. don't know much or haven't experienced much, it's hard for people to come up with an idea of like who you are. And so I think for those around me and my team, I try to think differently about how I engage. I text a lot. I am a lot. If there's something that I feel like maybe didn't land, because sometimes virtually things don't always land, I follow up. I've done that a ton of times. And I've been in meetings where there've been 20, 40, 50 people. And I thought maybe something didn't land. Let me reach out to that partner and just make sure that we're on the same page. So for me, making sure that the communication, the lines of communication are really clear and open and that people feel comfortable reaching out to me as well. And I reach out to them.
So what's interesting about this podcast, and I'm proud of it, is a lot of people use it as a research for job interviews. So I love that you're sharing your kind of leadership style and, collaboration style here, because I think you're going to be interviewing someone in a few months and they're going to know all this about you. You're going to be like, where did you hear that?
No, it's awesome. And I mean, I think it's important. Like one of the things that really has helped me in my career is what I call my board. I have this board of like mentors, friends, people that I go to and trust. And so I wasn't always a remote employee, but as I transitioned, I called on my board to say, like, what are the things that you guys are seasoned? You guys know me. What are the tips that you would give me? So it's definitely not recommendations made in isolation. It's a village that for me, my life has been blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And my village has been the folks that have ushered me through. So I encourage everybody to create a village and lean into them.
Who taught you to build your own board or your own advisory board?
I hear a lot of times that people have mentors. Mm-hmm. And I think mentors are great. But for me, I am multifaceted in terms of I have a lot of very unique sort of nuances. And there are some people that I really like are like kooky with me and connect with me on the kooky side, and other people that are a little bit more serious and I connect with them on that side. And I learned that about my friendships, that it was like seasonings. Like, there were no duplicates. Like, I want a little bit of, you know, adobo. I want a little bit of Lowry's. I want some salt and pepper, some sage. But I don't necessarily need two of the same. So I approached it in that way, that everyone has something different that they could contribute. And so, at like, when I have questions, I lean on folks and I get very different answers. And I love that. Because I think it pushes me to think about, well, what is authentic to you? Number one. And then how can you maybe take from some of the different points of feedback that you're getting?
So you've worked at these very large organizations in your career, and you talked about how building trust and rapport takes time with individuals. For somebody like at the earlier phases of their career in their early 20s, when they might be intimidated by people in a, you know, a role of like yours or your peers, how can they authentically start doing this work, building relationship, real relationships beyond the, hey, sign this, or can you take a look at that?
Yeah, I think for me, I think about leaning into whatever your superpower is and letting that shine. And perhaps it's easier to connect with somebody initially that has a shared superpower, or at least shows interest in yours. And so that, I think, is a start, and that makes it like a little bit less intimidating. I will tell you this, though. I had a young lady that reached out to me on LinkedIn because she was following me and she wanted some advice. She seemed shy, but I said to her, it took a lot of courage for you to do that. The worst thing that can happen is no. The worst thing that can happen is that it doesn't work out. It's still a learning. And so I say, take the chance, because you never know like where the journey can take you. And often what doesn't feel good is just as important to understand as what feels good.
What is your superpower?
You know, I think my superpower is connection. I think it's trend. I think it's dreaming. I'm a dreamer. I often am surrounded, like my husband, who's an engineer, by people that like I need to weigh me down, because I just am like, there is no height. We can do whatever. And I love that about myself. I've always been a dreamer. And that's something that hasn't changed. It's evolved. It's gotten refined. But I'm a dreamer. And I think that allows me to push the limits of process, that allows me to create and reimagine businesses, that allows me to think about like what could never be, that comes to fruition one day. And so it's probably the thing I love most about myself.
So I'm going to give you a really impromptu assignment. I was at a networking dinner in LA a few weeks ago, and around the table, I gave everybody an index card and I said, think about what your superpower is, or what people around you would say, like, you know, you bring to the table beyond the actual like doing the work, right? And imagine that now is like a job title in your LinkedIn profile, right? It says like your name, and then there's the, you know, you could say CEO or DMM or whatever, like you're going to replace it. What is it? So I want to hear from you, like, how would you interpret everything you just said as like a job? So for example, I put fortune teller for myself, because I feel like my job, I'm really good at seeing 10 steps ahead. You know, I can kind of, and I trust it now. I understand it now. So I'm curious, how would you change your profile title?
That's really interesting. I don't know. I want to say a pilot, but I don't think that does it justice, just because you're going up. And you, there could be turbulence. There's the, you know, the clouds are up there, but you are still aiming and shooting for something that is really off the ground. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a certain level of skill to get through whatever storms or whatever path may come. But you know how to land the plane, and that you pull it all together. And so, yeah, maybe I'll say a pop.
I love it. I actually did change my LinkedIn profile. So it says Jodi Katz. And then it says fortune teller, comma, CEO and founder.
I love that.
Okay, we have time for one more topic, and I want to focus on the topic of empathy. Maybe that's the reason why, like, I just adore you. Like, the minute I started talking to you, I understood that you really think about, like, being in other's shoes. So this translates to your work, right? Figuring out, like, how the customer is shopping. I imagine it pulls through to your team. If you can just give us, like, some sort of examples or understanding of how you use empathy, so that when I'm walking through the store, and my kid's sick, or I'm in a rush, or whatever it is, that you've already sort of like planted the seeds to help me in those moments.
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And so one of the things I I do and I bring forth every day is all my learned experiences. I'm really fortunate to be from a strong Caribbean family, and I think that diversity is really the spice of life and key. And it's not diversity just of race. It's diversity of ability. It's diversity of culture. It's diversity of community. And who doesn't want to feel included? Who doesn't want to feel thought of? You know what I mean? So just before I go into how I think about it, I think one of the main keys is assume the best from people. That was like a key for me. That was an unlock that if you assume the best, maybe what you're thinking isn't as bad as you think. And it changes actually outcomes. So as I've navigated, you know, my career and work life, that's something that I really keep at the forefront. And that has really been impactful to my results. I'd say as I think about the customer, think about what makes sense for the customer that you're serving. And so one of the things I'm really proud of that we did at CVS was change the shade runs and foundations from dark to light. I think there's the typical thought that it has to be from light to dark. We tested and we did some work and we actually saw really positive results as a result of that. And it started out as something that we were focusing on just a select few stores, and we actually expanded it. And so I think it's a small tweak, but it's impactful to the customer. We also have a great line of products when we think about people that may have some disabilities. And so when you think about tools and that people should absolutely still have the tools they need to look their best and feel their best from a facial care perspective, how can you help them get to that end point? And so just considering so many different things, you go into seasons and moments and how people celebrate. And so how are you then able to amplify some of the small things that may seem like, okay, it's not a big deal, but if we're not leaning into sort of a moment or a celebration for a certain group, then perhaps it could be something felt like they're not being considered. And so I think we really do a good job. Again, I'll go back to the moments of celebrating the big moments, but also really leaning in and making sure that whatever moment you're having, we see you. And we want you to show up looking your best, and we're celebrating that.
So I didn't know if I misheard you before. Did you say smallibrations?
Smaller days.
Smaller days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. So that just brings a lot of joy to an everyday notion, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's. I think it's a misnomer to say, like, when you think about what impacts happiness and you think about your mental health, and there's small things, you know, a great hair wash, you know, a great wash of the face, soaking in the tub. Like, there are so many things that help just you reset. And I think that's one of the things I'm most proud of is, like, we are able to offer those things that could really help change the trajectory of a day for somebody, and take that very seriously.
I love this conversation. Before we move on to our after show, I want to tell you, maybe this is TMI. Every time I'm in CVS, especially when I'm with my kids, I'm watching the staff turn over those, like, yellow sale tickets on the shelf. And I turn to my kids and say, like, I want to do that for a day. It just seems so zen, right? Because they're very focused, right? It's almost like, I guess, the equivalent to, like, rock climbing. Like, you really have to pay attention. Every little ticket looks almost the same, and they have to find, like, the right match. And I just feel like that would be such an incredible, like, brain, like, exercise.
Look, you could join me in a store one day, Jody.
Okay. I want to do that. I love being in the field. I miss it. I used to work for a brand that had 100 and something stores in the U.S. It was so fun. It's like every single store is a laboratory, right? You get to, like, have exposure to clients, get customers, you know, having all different opinions or needs. It is the best way to understand, especially in marketing, like, are the things I'm making for the store actually, like, helpful to them and them doing their jobs? Or is this just, like, an added task that is so annoying and a drag and costing them time, you know, where they need to be spending other places? So being in the store in the field is so fun. So, yes, I'm going to take you up on that date. I want to meet you somewhere.
Good.
So this wraps up our interview segment. Thank you, Selena, for your wisdom. Okay, we have time for maybe two or three fan questions. Okay. This is a good question. Are you involved in the work of the CVS Extra Bucks coupons? Like, how does that work affect your work?
Oh, yeah. So Extra Buck coupons are built into the infrastructure of CVS. So we utilize them as we think about promotions for customers. It's a part of, when you think about a store's DNA, it's a part of the store's DNA.
So, you know, there's memes about the length of the receipts as they print out. Is that something that the organization, like, has fun with?
I think, you know, people, look, there are some length of, like, long, sometimes long receipts. People like to look and like to, like, almost like a treasure hunt to see what they're going to find. So I think it's something that, like, we've acknowledged. It's part of who we are, and it's part of how people, like, think about CVS. And there's nothing wrong with
that. Yeah, I think it's it goes back to the surprise and delight that you spoke of before. My guess is it wasn't intentional in the beginning, just the way that the machines do what they do. But the fact that it's become like a meme and expected, it's expected to have a long receipt, but you don't know what's on the receipt, right? What the deals are.
Yeah, there are so many great sales, like thinking about getting the receipt and all of, like, the different sales that you see that you don't even know that, you know. So I think the team behind it does a really good job of trying to make sure they're really personalized and thoughtful offers, mm-hmm. And not just putting forth something that you may not use. There really is a lot of thought behind what lands on your receipt.
Okay, let's go back to where we met. We met at an event. What events do you have coming up in the new year that are, like, industry related that you're going to be at?
You know, I'm still finalizing events. I do have a lot of travel. I will be going to Portugal at the top of the year to do some trend spotting, but also there is a industry event that is happening out there. I'm really excited about, especially as I think about the difference between the trends in Europe and the trends here. It's always interesting to hear and to connect with people abroad. And so that would probably be the moment that's most quickly approaching. And then throughout the year, you know, we'll see. You never know. Well,
my last question is, tell me how much you travel in this role. Is this like, if someone's looking to get in this side of the business, is this a heavy travel type of job? Give me some lay of the land.
It really varies. No day is the same and no year is the same as it relates to travel. It's really based on the needs of the business. There could be a couple months where I'm not traveling at all. And then there could be months that I'm traveling 2 times a month consecutively for a couple months at a time. It really is just based on what's needed. And I think that's important, because oftentimes I would, you know, people may love to have, like, this is the schedule and this is what it's going to be in retail. And really at my role, it's my responsibility to flex and to lean in as needed. And, you know, I have a great supportive husband. I have a great village here with my children that allow me to be where I need to be when it's necessary.
Well, Selena, I want to say thank you for being our 275th episode. And I also just want to say, I'm really grateful for knowing you. And this is so meaningful to me that you took the time to do this today.
Of course. Look, thank you for the invite. This is really powerful. It's great catching up with you, and I will see you in CVS soon.
That's right. And thank you for our fans for listening in. If you like this episode, please rate and review. And as always, make sure you're following us on your favorite podcast platform and Instagram to stay up to date on the show. I do want to just say that this is our 7th year of recording, our 8th year, which will start in January, a total overhaul of our show. So lots of big announcements coming our way. So I'll share those with you, Selena, soon. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.